Ladies and gentlemen, welcome you all to your Drive to HR, and this is your host, Nisha, and my partner in crime, Villain Tinkup, is about to join the show, so he may call in at any point of time. Stay tuned. And if you are listening to Drive to HR, and if you feel to ask any questions to our guest, please feel free to tweet your questions with the hashtag DTHR. Or if you are on the go, you can listen to our show by dialing to 347-996-5600. So let me get right to it. Let me welcome our guest of the day, Andre Leroy. I hope I pronounced your last name correctly. Is that so,
Andre?
Oh,
that was perfect, Nisha. Yes, thank you.
I'm sorry. I always mess up with the last name of my guest, but I make sure I pronounce it correctly. So, Andre, welcome to Drive Through HR. First time on the show. We are so excited to have you here with us and can't wait to hear more about the awesome thoughts and insights that you are about to share. So, if you can do
us a favor.
So, if you can do us a favor, Andre, would you please talk a little bit about who you are and what you do?
Yeah, so my name is Andre Leroy. I am the CEO of a company called Clear Company, also known as Clear Company HRM, Human Resource Management. And we provide a fully integrated solution for the SMB market or companies under 5,000 employees that covers the entire process of recruitment management and recruiting, onboarding, goal management, and performance. And we've tied those together into a process we call continuous talent improvement, which really requires all four of those to kind of work together as one tool.
That is awesome. So, Andre, why don't you talk a little bit more about how did this company evolve, Clear Company, right? That's such a unique name. Normally, when we hear about any HR or HR technology company, something related to people or talent or HR, would that be there on their name? But your company name is Clear Company, which is so unique. So how did this idea evolve? Take us through that journey of the first stage of starting up this company and your journey throughout till this time.
Sure. Well, really, the heart of the company is providing transparency around a process that involves the company strategy, hiring managers, executive management, and the goals of the organization. But we really began, like any of these companies out there, we began with one part of that. So we started our journey with recruiting. And the challenges we saw in recruiting were the need to really involve the need of our clients to involve the hiring managers more intimately in the recruiting process. So we really began that journey 10 years ago as the first multi-tenancy SaaS solution. Both of myself and my co-founder Colin Kingsbury came from a SaaS business before it was the name SaaS even existed, called CCBN, which built investor relations portions of company websites. So we were deeply focused on making sure that the application we built was completely hosted in the cloud and had the capabilities that we could provide out to clients in that way. So we started with including the hiring managers in the process because that was the part that we saw that was broken. But the Clear Company name comes from really from this concept of transparency through an entire organization. And we really believe that transparency can help drive performance. If everybody in the organization knew why we were recruiting certain roles, how those roles were going to then get onboarded into an organization, and how they would eventually become goals within an organization, or those people would start their goals in an organization and those would flow into performance, we really saw this as a unique opportunity to rebrand around this concept of clarity and transparency throughout the hiring process. And that really is about linking HR strategy with business strategy and making that whole thing transparent to the whole organization.
So, Andre, let me ask you, going through all the discussions that we had right now, what is keeping you up at night these days?
Well, I think that the big challenges in the industry today are on a very tactical basis. Is we have a lot of our clients asking us for systems and capabilities that allow the people applying to jobs to apply through mobile capabilities, through a mobile phone or through a tablet, and we've seen this just enormous swell of demand for that over the course of the past year, where in some cases we're seeing between 40% and 60% of all applicants for certain roles in certain companies coming through these mobile channels. And so we've been responding to that process of delivering a mobile apply process that's not just allowing our system to work over a mobile device, but creating a completely customizable mobile and responsive online apply technology that's multilingual, it's process defined, totally customizable, and allows you to include things like background checks or assessment tests, knockout questions in the entire process of applying online. So, you know, that's been keeping me up at night in the sense that it's something that we knew we had to deliver, you know, a key solution for. We're very excited to launch that this week and provide something that we believe is going to be the industry standard for allowing people to apply through any device in any way that the company themselves can define.
That's interesting. So what are some basic criteria that organizations should look forward to when they are getting into utilizing this mobile platform?
Well, I think that there are some factors out there that should be considered. One is how many applicants are you getting, you know, for any given role? And if you're not getting the applicant flow that you're looking for, then you're probably shutting off, you know, 40 to 60% of that applicant flow just by not having a process that's really not just mobile, but just beautiful in a mobile environment, where someone can apply on a train, or they can apply in a coffee shop, just making it really easy for that person who's on the fence or thinking about your company to do it at any time, anywhere. And that's just by default going to increase your apply process. So you're going to get more applicants. I think the second part is that we see the impact of some of the regulations on the contingency workforce. A number of these employees don't actually even have, in certain roles, don't have access to a computer on a regular basis, or you know, are not inclined to spend their time when they're on a computer applying for a job. So we're really opening it up to this changing workforce and making it easy for you to start to get that applicant flow. And that's really critical right now because of the as I'm sure you've seen, the demand for recruiting is at an all-time high. The ability to fill is at a five-year low. So we're really looking at some real pressure on finding that talent, bringing them in, and making them a part of your organization. So you know, companies today are very, very focused on acquisition. We've seen acquisition of a larger applicant pool, and then on the flip side, retention of that employee base.
All right. So, and there is a great disconnect between, you know, when we talk about mobile, in order to get it optimized on their, even if it is their career site or even if it is their job posts, what do you say, why this is disconnect is happening, even though people, they have their career sites or mobile optimized, why they are not becoming successful?
Yeah, so a lot of systems and tools build mobile career sites, but end at the career site itself. Building a mobile and adaptable and adaptive and responsive apply process is quite different. You can get that person to the job, but if you can't get them to the application process and run that application process all the way through to completion on a mobile device, then you just don't have the latest technology that's available. And I think a lot of people look at that technology and say, well, that's inaccessible or too expensive. You don't have to pay $1 million for that technology. There's a lot of systems like Clear Company that provide that complete application process and combine it with the rest of the recruitment management process in a very seamless way. And what sort of has surprised us is if you look at the larger companies in this space, most of them don't have a great applicant tracking system, and almost none of them have an apply process that's really mobile optimized, because that's hard to do. And what we've taken is we've taken almost 5 years of experience kind of working on the mobile career sites and other parts of our application, and we've built that into state-of-the-art in mobile apply. So we're really excited about that launch, and it's been one of the most exciting things for our client base as well as our prospect base, because this is something that's really we see driving the process of decision making on the recruitment process. You can have the best process in the world, but if you're not getting the right applicant flow because of barriers that you've put up, you're just not going to make the best hire you can, because your applicant pool will be compromised.
That's right. Well, Andre, you talked a little bit about the transparency in the very beginning, right? So when we talk about recruitment, how much of transparency is too much?
Well, let's look at let's break down what we mean by transparency. So transparency works in, I think, in two ways. So one is that let's call it the executive team needs to set a strategy and understand how that strategy is playing out in terms of people that they are looking for and looking to hire. And very few systems, I don't believe any today, provide transparency to help that executive team understand how the resources that they need to drive their strategy are aligned to their business strategy or their goals. And to have a system that allows you to see the allocation of your resources against your business strategy is second to none in terms of providing transparency up to that executive team. But on the other side, transparency is about the line employee. I think that and in that case, you can never have too much transparency. That person 3 or 4 levels down in your organization that's slogging away and actually doing the work has the furthest disconnect from the executive management team, and they are constantly looking for for communication and transparency into the business strategy, and I'm sure you've heard this from other speakers, but when we talk about engagement. Engagement being, being broken down into the disproportionate amount of work and willingness to stay, and how those impact the overall business. Engagement, the number one driver of engagement is transparency. It's the understanding of how what you do on a daily basis connects up to the mission and vision of the organization. And that can really only be done through a transparent goal cascading process, where these big, lofty, giant goals that sit at the top of a company can cascade visually through an organization right down to the work that line worker is doing. If you look at any organizational structure with, an average span of control of between 6 and 10, that's going to put, in a 10,000 employee or 5,000 employee organization, it's going to put 90 to 98% of all of the people that are actually doing the work that don't have a management role in the organization furthest from the CEO, and HR, this is really an opportunity for HR to really begin to engage with the business strategy and help the executive team see how their strategy is cascading. But think about it from the context of that line worker. I like to use the analogy of the stone quarry, and there's two people in the stone quarry, and one is carving out a rock, and the other one is building a cathedral. they're both doing exactly the same job, but one understands their job much more in depth with the context of the overall goal. And that's what a well-designed goal cascading technology can provide, that level of transparency through the process up to that business strategy, which is really the ultimate driver of engagement.
Absolutely. And I totally second your thoughts, like hiring managers and the line managers, they have a direct contribution to making that employee engaged at the front end, right? So when it comes to recruiting process, how would you want the hiring manager to become more of an intimate relationship, or probably letting the candidates know what kind of a culture they are getting into so that they would be able to know more about the company, know more about the group that he or she is going to join, and accordingly they can take a decision?
Yeah, that's a great question. Well, that has to do with continuous talent improvement. We've built a process where we take all of that rich data, all that continuous improvement, the continuous performance data that we collect over the course of the year. We roll that into a performance review, and then we look at the correlation of certain attributes of that of performance to success in the role. We take that correlation analysis and we bring it back to the beginning of the recruiting process. So we're taking the attributes of what makes someone successful within that job, within that under that hiring manager, in that position, at the time where the recruitment takes place, and we're giving all that rich data and information back to the recruiter. So that's by default involving the idiosyncrasies of that hiring manager and the role and the location into the process to say, if this applicant has these attributes and scores well on these attributes, they're likely to score well within the role. They're likely to do well within the role. And so we take that correlation analysis and we combine it with one of the most powerful predictive analytics today that's available today, and that is consensus. I came from the financial markets. I've looked at every type of predictive analytic technology that's out there. There's nothing that's more powerful than consensus. And consensus inside of the HR world and the recruiting world is the interview process with the candidate, and an elegant combination of really consensus-driven factors against that applicant. So what we do differently is we take the correlation of what is going to the questions that are highly correlated with performance, and we use that as a way of factor weighting the questions during the consensus process. And that's going to effectively give you a better score of who's going to perform well with that hiring manager in the role. And the best part of it is that there's no additional work that's done to provide that data. When companies buy our applicant tracking and our onboarding and our goals and performance capabilities, we do the work for you. We help your process come alive to drive that continuous talent improvement loop, to take that information and put it in the front of your process so it helps you hire better people.
Wonderful. Well, Andre, you talk a lot about talent improvement, and especially talent is one of the topmost three priorities of CEOs across globally, right? And most of them, what is keeping them up at night is the widening skills gap of their own talent. So it is indeed necessary that talent improvement has to be done even within the organization, right? But in order to do that, would you suggest any sort of strategies to get it started in a more intentional way, or to make it more successful so that they have their own talent development programs within the organization, and they are developing leaders within the organization to probably prepare for the future?
Yeah, I think that comes down to really ensuring that you have a system that both looks at what it takes to be a leader inside of an organization. And a lot of systems, I think, really focus on competencies. And our technology also provides the ability to focus on those competencies of individuals who are adaptable and well-rounded and can take on a variety of roles. I mean, these are the competencies of the future of a process of business that's continuously changing. So we provide those, and we provide a library of those to our clients, so they can kind of build that and adapt it over time. But we also provide the other axis, which is performance. And we do that in a really unique way directly against the goals and the aligned goals into the organization. So what we really want to find are those people that share that potential, those competencies that work well within an organization that's constantly changing, with someone who can actually execute against the performance goals that are in front of them. And sometimes those aren't entirely matched up. So what we're providing is kind of that classic 9-box view of performance versus potential, but we're really focusing the performance on actually achieving the goals within the platform, and providing the transparency into kind of a continuous process of reviewing and looking at how those employees are executing against those goals over time. So I think that, you know, the succession planning view or the training view of the future needs to look at both the development of competencies, which is kind of the way that all the systems work today, along with the skills and capabilities that are needed to achieve a new set of goals or a changing set of goals over time. And the learning systems of the future will take both of those into account.
That's great. So while you were talking about, you know, performance versus potential, I wanted to go back to that starting point of recruitment, right? So what do you suggest to our audience when it comes to recruitment? What should they be focusing on, whether is it culture fit or competence?
They should be looking at performance and potential in a similar way. With a goal-centric system, you're effectively defining the role in the organization through the goals that you would like that person to accomplish. So that's the performance part of it that you can evaluate that potential employee against. Are they a good fit for the goals that you're trying to accomplish, or that you want them to accomplish? And so a goal-centric job description that's informed by the actual goals that they're going to work on should be part of that recruitment process. And the second part, that the other side of that coin, are the competencies. Now, as I said before, the competencies are not just any competencies or the competencies that you think that person needs, but they're the competencies that actually relate to actual performance within the role. And that's why it's so important to really choose a solution or a recruiting solution that can be informed by the performance process. Because what you'll find is inside of the performance process, you might be judging the whole organization on a set of 5 core competencies and then 7 or 8 job-specific competencies. But even though you think you've defined these very accurately, only a few of these competencies will actually relate to, will be highly correlated with performance. What we do is we pick those out and we drop them into the recruiting process so that when we run the review of the applicant, we're using the data that's most highly correlated with actual performance within the job. So yes, goals are important at the beginning of the process, because you're effectively creating a contract with that new employee of what they're going to be doing in the role. It's not a surprise when they come to the role. And then secondly, it's defining and analyzing those competencies that they're going to need to be successful. If you can bring both of those to bear in the recruiting process, you're going to have better retention because there's far fewer surprises for that new employee when they come in. They know what they're there to do, and they know they have the skills and competencies to get that job done.
So, Andre, within 2 months, the next year is going to begin, right, 2015. And in this year, we have seen social and mobile at its full stretch, right? So when it comes to 2015, what do you see or how do you see the HR or recruiting technology is going to unfold in the next year?
Oh, that's a great question. I'm hearing a lot about analytics and the drive to embed analytics in the process. And I think that will continue to take place in 2015.
Mm-hmm.
I think the challenge with that is, you know, we heard about big data and we heard about all the stuff that, you know, never really transpired over last year. And I think we should be careful about what kind of analytics we're going to that are really going to matter next year. And I have a feeling that we'll see a similar trend where there will only be a couple of analytics that really stick and work. I would caution against getting too excited or too hyped up about predictive analytics or performance analytics or succession planning analytics and what they can actually do. As I said earlier, there's nothing stronger than simply the consensus, which is a process of involving a human in the process. I think that there'll be a realization that analytics are valuable in a way of to help inform the process, but they can't replace the human and human decision making that goes into the process. So I think that's the first thing, is there'll be kind of this realization that there's no secret number or special sauce that's going to replace the human in the process. I think the second trend is that we are really going to see the ramp up in integrated solutions. A system that stands alone as an applicant tracking system just doesn't make any sense anymore as a tool, especially if it doesn't even have onboarding capabilities, simply because there's so much value that can be created from seeing across the set of solutions. I think the good news for those companies that have, the single solution out there today is that, almost none of the companies out there that provide more than one solution have done a good job of combining these into a truly integrated experience. So there is some time, I think, for some of these smaller companies to start to build out a horizontal strategy. But I think that companies that have these capabilities will start to tie them together in ways that really demonstrate the advantage of having more than one capability under the roof. If you take a Cornerstone or a Taleo or a Workday, they've all built their solutions, even though their websites say they haven't. They've all built their solutions through acquisition. So inside of their platforms, there's multiple sets of capabilities that are delivered by different companies that have been purchased. That makes it very difficult for these companies to provide that workflow and very challenging, much more challenging than people think to build an end-to-end seamless view of an employee or a company workflow. Our system, it's taken us longer. It will continue to take us longer, but we've built it 100% organically without any acquisitions across those capabilities, so that from a data point of view, all the data is in one place. From an analytics point of view, you can provide analytics across that entire view. And then from a workflow, the benefits of workflow, you can really move seamlessly from one part of our solution to the next. And, that's going to be really, really important. You can get away with it in a demo, but once you start using the product, you really start to see, you know, where those tear lines are on platforms that are not 100% organic.
Well, Andre, thank you so much for being here with us today, and it's been a pleasure having you over here at Drive-Thru HR, and we need to wrap up the show right now. It's been a pleasure. So, Andre, where can our audience connect with you, find out more details about Clear Company?
Yeah, so you can find us on Twitter at Clear Company, or at my Twitter account at AG Lavoie, LAVOIE, or at Facebook/Clear Company.
All right. So, Andrea, thank you so much again, and have a wonderful rest of the day.
Nisha, thank you so much.
All right. Bye-bye.